Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai, your host and producer for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Hoping you've all had an excellent holiday and are looking forward to a really cool 2020. And thank you for joining us. We hope to have some really good information and conversations with all of you this year. Stay tuned for ways in which we hope to be in touch with you. In the meantime, this episode we recorded in 2019 with Allison Bujalov. Allison has spent over 20 years working in the nonprofit sector out of Philadelphia. For the last 10 years, she's been more increasingly involved as the development director for a number of community-based nonprofit organizations, effectively increasing revenue with particular emphasis on diversifying funding streams and securing grassroots fundraising efforts with individual donors of all sizes. We were lucky to sit down with her and talk about a number of things related to grassroots fundraising in particular. Let's just jump right into this episode. So tell us again a little bit more about your current consultancy and what are the things that you personally like to talk about and what are your specialties?
So yeah, that's a good question. And I ran into someone earlier who I hadn't seen in a little while, and I was updating them on what I'm doing now. And, you know, we were catching up and she was updating me with the same. And I said, you know, so I do fundraising strategy. I really like to sit down with organizations, and particularly organizations that are trying to build power in communities where there isn't power and where there are big structural reasons for why there's not power. So I like to sit down with those organizations to really try and hear what they think are the reasons that, you know, they need help with fundraising, and try to see fundraising and resource generation, which is what I prefer to call it, as more of really basic organizing, community organizing. I mean, I think that's a lot of what, when I think of grassroots fundraising, when I think of resource generation and mobilization, I think it is a lot of community organizing, and I think it's powerful to think of it in that way. And it's so, the organizations that think of it in that way are few and far between. So right now, that's really something that I'm passionate about, not only sitting down with organizations to try and see specifically what's going to work for them, but also connecting it to the sector and, you know, the location of where the organization is working as well. Because I don't know if it's the same in Atlanta, but at least in Philly, where I am from, born and raised, in Philly, we see folks, you know, moving between organizations. We see folks who are doing great work in an organization that might work with youth, and then in a year or two, they might be working with another organization that's doing a lot of, like, get out the vote work. And so I think the skills and the information that, and the experiences that folks are building is really something that I prefer to think of in terms of just sector-wide, right? Or across the so-called movement ecosystem. And so that's really something that I love being able to sort of dig into and work with the clients with whom I'm currently working with. I think really trying to skill them up to that level of being able to think of it more sort of macro and then relate it back to their own individual organizations and work.
Okay. So get them to look at the big picture, bring it back down home, and
keep doing that, like you're bouncing a ball.
Okay. So I'm sort of torn here. I see three different ways to move forward with this conversation. What can you give us an example of what it looks like when an organization doesn't do that?
Well, I think maybe for your listeners, I'll paint a picture of an organization that I'm sure folks may be familiar with. I think that it's an organization that doesn't have a broad funder base or donor base. It doesn't have a diverse donor base. the leadership of the organization, both on staff and on the board, are feeling really stretched and are kind of treading water. Yeah, not to sound so bleak, I guess, but I think it's a lot of organizations who aren't with staff members and probably board members who aren't really trained, but really are being led by the fact that they want to do good in the world and they want to help to make change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's right. And I think that you know, we need a lot of other skills to really hit the ground running and to make lasting change. You know, I think there's a lot of burnout in the nonprofit sector. There's a lot of organizations who really know at this point, from having listened to all the webinars or read the books or, you know, listened to podcasts like yours, who know what they're supposed to do, but just feel like there's never enough time to actually implement those things.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, there's a lot of, I think especially amongst small to medium-sized nonprofits, people feel like they have to scramble all the time just to get mission activities moving. It's hard to convince a small to medium-sized nonprofit that there's another way to go about doing this that doesn't jeopardize their ability to do good things.
Sure.
And, you know, the trick is then how do you get them to make that, I'm going to call it a cultural shift between the everyday scrambling of what it means to actually be providing mission services, mission-oriented activities to doing more of the full community organizing the way you've described it so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do we get that to, how do we get a small nonprofit in particular? Because, I guess that leads to my next major question. We're talking about sort of grassroots fundraising for small to medium-sized nonprofits. You know, they don't have the Rolodexes. They haven't built up their full databases yet. How does grassroots fundraising help support and sustain community building?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say that while, so I'm going to kind of like pick up on something that you said and then answer your question.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it's not just small or even mid-sized nonprofit organizations that really need to quote unquote get grassroots fundraising. And I don't think it's only those sized organizations that are trying to, because, you know, I also have spent a fair amount of my time doing programmatic work, so on the program side of the table, so to speak, for a large national and international nonprofit organization. And they're also wanting to do this work. You know, they're mm-hmm. also really knee-deep in sustainer campaigns and trying to build that out. They're also sending out a lot of, you know, trying to be as creative as they can with their direct mail appeals and all of that. So I think it's everybody who really wants to harness the power of what we actually do have, which are people and their voices. And you know, their dollars and where they can kind of invest in different areas of work. So for me, grassroots fundraising really is reminding people of the power that they already have and seeing people as the resource, which most people do. They just don't really kind of transition their thinking and really harness the capacity that individuals who are either, you know, a part of their volunteer base or the individuals who attend all of their events or even the individuals who have gone through their program, right? Like they're not necessarily thinking of them as being a possible donor base. And I've worked with a number of organizations who are really, when they do tap into that and figure that out, I won't pretend that they then have, you know, thousands of dollars flowing in the door, but what they have is they have another level of, or and another entry point for their base or their constituents to be able to support them. And they have another layer of the story of the work that they're doing by saying that, you know, our community is directly supporting this work. Maybe not to the tune of, you know, let's say for some organizations, they have a give-get policy on their board of, you know, $1,000 per board member or $500. So it's maybe not at that level, you know, it's definitely not at that level, but it is at a level that works for the folks with whom they are interested, an organization is interested in being supported by. So, and I think that that is just a powerful set of information for most organizations out there.
So, in a sense, grassroots fundraising isn't really that different from what a regular director of development might do, is it? I mean, in principle, it sounds very similar.
I think there are a lot of similarities. I think the way that I have stepped into and carried out director of development work is really trying to impress upon as many people as possible who are on the fundraising team of an organization, whether it's board members or whether there's a development committee that may be made up of board members or larger, broader community members. It's really trying to impress upon everybody that fundraising, just because or simply because it has to do with money and it has to do with, I think there's two sides of the fundraising coin. It's when you're doing well and you have the resources flowing. And then there's that other side of the coin, which is when it's not happening. And because that has such a huge fear factor, right? A lot of people tend to not want to fundraise, or they don't want to have the conversation about money. There's so much wrapped up into that. And I'm sure any of your listeners who have read the grassroots fundraising journal or the gift journal, or maybe even, I think, I'm sure Andy has said things about this. There's so much that we have connected as individuals to money, whether giving, receiving, having, and not having, that it often gets overlooked. It often gets kind of sidelined. And I think as a development director, where grassroots fundraising should be hand in hand or lockstep with the work of the development director, is to try and shift that belief and that understanding, and to try and shift the practices related to that. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say that every development director necessarily does that. I think there are still a lot of folks who spend their time on major donors or on foundation funding and other institutional fundraising ventures. Or there's a lot of folks who maybe invest in events. But I think for me, grassroots fundraising is really at the heart of all of it, because it means everybody who is connected to your organization. It means those institutions that want to support your work. It means the folks who have more access to wealth who want to support your work. And it means the folks who are at the grassroots of the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my mind, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, grassroots fundraising is the thing that precedes everything else. You know, even before you meet a person who's into events, even before you meet a potential board member who can help you really expand your reach into major donor gift asks, the thing that happens during the actual organization of a nonprofit is completely grassroots fundraising. But maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe you can, you know, maybe you can clarify. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I do think that the way I like to think about it for myself and in the work that I do is really that it is an interdependent relationship. I see it really clearly, and I know that that's not as easy for everyone to see, right? We're used to thinking of things as either black or white or, you know, a circle or a square. I do think, though, that whether someone comes in through participation or attendance at an event, or even, you know, I've had the experience where a donor's first gift has been a major gift. That I think no matter where a donor fits into the picture or donation comes in, I think I do agree with you where the heart of it is grassroots fundraising, right? So I think that being really the foundation for, or the nucleus for any of the work that an organization will continue to do with a donor really should, I suggest that having fundraising be, you know, really at the core is super important, and I think it is sustainable.
So we're running out of time. Where can we tell the listener to find some good resources on grassroots fundraising? Where would they find a good primer on it and to learn more?
Sure. So I don't know if they're still available, but the GIFT Grassroots Institute for Fundraising Training website, sometimes you can find it by Googling GIFT or Grassroots Fundraising Journal. They have just a great repository of articles from the past, I want to say 15 years, where there's really firsthand accounts, information and articles that were written by and shared with by folks who are on the front lines, people like me who are doing this work or have been doing this work and think about this work probably mm-hmm. a little too much. That's a really great resource. I think there's also the Justice Funders is an organization that's in California that is really looking at a number of different kind of not, you may not see even directly the word grassroots fundraising on their website, but they're talking about a lot of connected issues to grassroots fundraising that really look at some of the systemic pieces of it and I think have a lot of valuable information related to it. Mm-hmm. I think Annie Robinson's materials and website are pretty helpful, particularly some of the exercises in the book that he and Andrea Keelstead put together. I think some of Kim Klein's work, earlier work on social justice fundraising is really helpful as well. But I can't emphasize enough that there is a wealth of information from a lot of organizations across the country that were well represented through the Grassroots Fundraising Journal.
Would it be acceptable if our listeners wanted to contact you? And if so, where would they find you?
Folks can reach out to me at Allison@dragonfly, just like the insect, all one word, /partners.com.
Great.
I should say that I'm one of those Allisons who spells my name Allison. There's lots of spelling.
It's true. Thank you, Allison. This has been a really good conversation. Thank you for making the time to talk with me today.
Thanks so much, Mickey.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.